Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Your trainer, Melanie Cole, is here to motivate and help you perform. It's time now for Train Your Body.
There was a recent issue of the New England Journal of Medicine that covered obesity myths and presumptions. And my guest is Dr. Pamela Peake. She's the lifestyle expert for WebMD, and she's an internationally renowned physician, scientist, and expert in the field of nutrition. So, Dr. Peake, when we talk about the myths, the seven myths that these doctors all came up with, I would have right away thought the myths would have been obese people are lazy. Or that, you know, stuff like that. But these are a little bit different and may change some people's opinions. So let's try and hit all seven of these.
All right. So we're going to go right down the list because, it's very, very important that people understand that this was, this was really, really well thought out. Okay, here we go. Small sustained changes in how much energy you take in or expenditure that you put out will produce large long-term weight changes. No, that's absolutely a myth. I spoke with Jim Hill once again at the National Weight Control Registry because he's all about small changes. This is what the truth is. Small sustained changes yield small sustained long-term weight changes. Small. These are small changes. So small yields small, right? They're extremely important. But at the end of the day, if you want big changes, then you have to have, big alterations in behavior and all the rest
of it. If you want big changes, you have to make big changes.
That's right, man. That's what it boils down to. Let's go to the next one. Setting realistic goals in obesity treatment is important because otherwise patients will become frustrated and lose less weight. This was a very funny one. That basically means that now, really, I know you need to drop 100 pounds, but let's just, go with 40 right off the bat, right? And let's just, use that as our goal right now. Well, it's an interesting mixed bag. Here's the truth. Okay, so that's the myth. What's the truth? The truth is that almost anything works. So there are some people just happy with 20 pounds of that 100. Other people hit the 50. And other people, quite frankly, aim for 100 and hit it. And so, you know, anything goes on this one. It's a wide spectrum of human behavior on this one. So you can't limit it. Okay, the next one. Large, rapid weight loss is associated with poor long-term weight outcomes and is slow, gradual. You know something? This was an eye-opener for a lot of people. We've always, basically said, now take it methodically and da-da-da. Meanwhile, I've noticed in my own practice there are some people who just raced right to it. I mean, they were just dropping weight like it was raining, and I was just sort of amazed. And lo and behold, they were able to hold on to this, and it was quite sustainable. So once again, it's like keeping your eyes open. But there's one other caveat to this one. Who's dropping all this weight really quickly? It's the bariatric patients. And the caveat to this one is, yes, they will be able to keep off the weight because they do drop weight pretty fast, only if they have an entire support system in
absolutely.
Place.
Absolutely.
They must have that. So that means a nutrition person, a physical fitness person, a psychological, support.
I mean, they still have to change everything, even though people think that's like a, an easy way out. But having sisters that have had it and lap band over bypass, it is no easy way out at all.
Yeah, okay. So let's go to the next one. Assessing the stage of change or diet readiness is important in helping patients who seek weight loss treatment. You know what's interesting? We've all studied this readiness thing, but there's a lot of gray zone in this one, and that is some people are kind of like, maybe I'm ready, maybe I'm not, and then they go on to become stupendously successful. There are other people who are very ready and screw it up royally. So we just found out that, it's that wide spectrum. Got to keep your eyes open on this one because you don't know. The next one, physical education classes. Oh, this one, you're going to
love. Yeah, I want to talk about this one.
In their current format, play an important role in preventing or reducing childhood obesity. Uh-oh. So now this is what they actually found. Well, of course, physical education is in their current format, right? Now, what the heck does that mean? Most of the formats I've seen in physical education classes right now are pathetic. I mean, the kids basically barely move. And they're allowed to get away with murder, and then physical activity doesn't even exist in half the schools. And so I'm not quite sure where they're coming from on the current format, but let's just say for grins that it's sort of a fairly decent format. And it says it plays an important role. No, it doesn't. What really plays a role in childhood obesity and the rest of it is what's going on at home with the family.
That's right.
All right? That's the name of the game. Because if you could send a kid to school and they could have, you know, a freaking Olympic boot camp, and that would be great. God bless. All right? Then they come home and mom and dad are chowing down on Doritos, sitting on a couch.
And they've screwed up everything that they did. And actually,
exactly.
Dr. Peek, the whole thing is that we know in the business that there's a certain duration, intensity that make those changes, that make those developments, and they're not getting them in gym class. However, I digress. Kids need to run around. They need recess and gym to get their beans out or they can't sit still. So that's an interesting one. Now move on to breastfeeding.
Yeah, the breastfeeding thing is interesting. So let's just go to this one because we got two more. I mean, after this, one more. Breastfeeding is protective against obesity. It's noted that this belief in that breastfed children are less likely to become obese has been around for, you know, since, I don't know, dinosaurs ruled the earth. And this, a lot of this came from a World Health Organization report that came out a while ago. And basically said that you know, if they're breastfed, they're less likely to become obese later in life. And yet, what they found was that there's big-time publication bias in the published literature. And what they also found was that this is what really was most important. It wasn't the breastfeeding per se. It was the fact that the entire broken record, that the entire family and environment was conducive to increased physical activity and healthy eating. That's what they found. And so at the end of the day, all by its little lonesome, breastfeeding is not protective of obesity, either during childhood, adolescence, or later on in life. Instead, once again, it's that comprehensive, holistic living environment and then the behaviors like physical activity and appropriate nutritional behaviors that are demonstrated as that child grows up. So that's the Mac Daddy. And then on the last one, of course, I know this was the one you cued in on big time.
Of course I did.
Oh, yeah.
Watch
it. Was about one bout of sexual activity burns 100 to 300 kilocalories for each person involved. Honey,
is that true?
You want to know something? The answer is absolutely not, especially the way it's conducted in most of what's going on in America's bedrooms today. Now, you'd think this was, you know, Brad Pitt with Angelina Jolie. Forget about it. What they actually found was, hold on to your seats, okay, that you're expending no more than about 20 to 50 calories. You know, it's one of those, did that just happen already? You know, situations. And unless you're, you know, you belong to an S&M club or something out there, or you've got one interesting, you know, life, the grand majority of people are not exactly, you know, cooking a boatload of calories. I think they threw this in just so that they'd get into the New England Journal of Medicine.
That's probably true. And
media.
That is a funny one if you think of most people that you know and when you talk about it. But the magazines would have us think different. Now, Dr. Peek, in the last 30 to 40 seconds here, that's all you got. Wrap the whole study up for us.
Okay, it's really simple. At the end of the day, what you have to do is you have to just go with the final facts, just the simple, straightforward facts. And the facts are simple. Regularly eating your breakfast is very good for you, but, you know, let's go with the facts. And that is, one, your behavior means everything. I don't care what your genetics were. Your behavior means everything. You are your lifestyle, so keep it healthy, for crying out loud. Stay physically active. Make certain to eat whole foods. Remember that physical activity is the Mac Daddy. That's the one that's not only going to get you to drop the weight, but to keep it off for an entire lifetime. That's what you want more than anything else. It's a holistic and an integrative approach.
And she is Dr. Pamela Peek, the one and the only, and you can hear her right here on Radio MD. Train your body, motivate, and perform with the American College of Sports Medicine. I'm Melanie Cole, and stay well.